Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Tuesday right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it this morning, every morning. Here on the show with the people. Start it up. Start up the week with the football week. As we wrapped it up last night with Monday Night Football, Saints escaped Seattle with a 3-point win. We'll get to details. So in our coach's corner, we have a coaching vacancy in the Big 12 as of yesterday. We'll dive back into that conversation out at Texas Tech. And Chris Beard continued to get her done on the recruiting trail, to say the least, for the Longhorns as the basketball season fast approaching now in Chris Beard's first year in the burnt orange and white. So we'll get into that as well. So busy Tuesday morning, getting all geeked up about the World Series, Buck. Game one tonight, Astros-Braves. It's for the championship.
Yeah, you got to have game one.
Got to have game one. Got to have home games. I mean, I mentioned yesterday the in their World Series history, the Astros just 2-7 lifetime at home in the World Series. They've got to be better than that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
if you've seen these playoffs, the Braves are something in Atlanta, man. That tomahawk chop and that crowd, they're a frenzy right now.
Yeah, they get those day games, those 6 o'clock games?
Yeah, well, during the divisional series, they played some day games, and you know, obviously these will all be primetime games starting mm-hmm. tonight in Houston. But yes, Atlanta is, you know, kind of, you know, feeling it. They've kind of, you know, this team has won that fan base. There's no doubt about that because of the players and coming together. First World Series in a long time since '99 for
plus
them.
Plus losing a superstar early in the season and just going right on through.
Yeah, their general manager has done a heck of a job rebuilding on the fly or plugging holes on the fly with the Ronald Acuna injury, pitching staff injuries that they took. But here they are. So Astros have to be good at home, and they have been in the postseason. They've been great at Minute Maid Park. That has to continue. You have to feel good about Framber Valdez tonight. If you're an Astros fan, he'll get the ball. Disappointing, though, but not surprising. Yesterday, Lance McCullers not on the playoff roster or the World Series roster.
Yeah, they're not going to pitch him. He's not. They're not going to risk that.
Yeah, basically the injury he suffered, that forearm tweak, is really a 6 to 8 week injury. If you had that during the regular season, you wouldn't even pick up a ball for 6 weeks, maybe eight, and then you'd head down and do some rehab and, you know, round rock or something, right, mm-hmm. before you'd even, you know, think about coming back up. So they're not going to rush it. He just signed a new contract. He's the not just the ace of the staff now, but one of the aces moving forward. But, man, that's tough to not have him. But Braves have some pitching, you know, depth issues too. So we'll see. Tonight, big one. Framber for the Houston Astros. And guess who the Astros get to face? Charlie Effin Morton will get the ball for the Atlanta Braves.
That's no fun.
And that is no fun whatsoever. That's he was one of the stalwarts of the Astros World Series run in 2017. He's a big game pitcher. Key to Charlie Morton is you got to get to him early. If you can get to him in the first inning, that's when you typically can get some stuff off of him. If he gets past that first, second inning and settles in, Charlie Morton becomes really, really tough with that, you know, high velocity, high spin rate fastball, and then the you know, the curveball that just drops off the table. He's going to be a challenge for them tonight. But you got to get him early. If you get some early runs on the board, get the crowd involved. You know, give Framber Valdez a lead. You got to feel like Framber can't wait to get back to the mound after the way he pitched at Fenway Park in Game 5 of that series to get Houston here. So we'll see. But Charlie Morton, and think about that. You know, when the Braves were sinking and the Braves were 3 games under .500. At one point, the Braves were 52-55 this year, and you know, give Alexandropoulos their GM credit. There was a lot of thought that they were going to sell, right? That they were going to start mm-hmm. trading. There, you know, he admitted that he actually had conversations with the Chicago Cubs about trading Charlie Morton because the Cubs felt like they were still in the mix and were looking for an arm and looking for pitching, and you know, they decided to go the other way. And they at the trade deadline, they actually went after Eddie Rosario and went after Adam Duvall and didn't trade some of their top veterans, including Charlie Morton. And now here they are. in the World Series, and Morton will get the ball tonight against his former team. And there we go.
What time does that game start?
7:07 or 8. Not that I'm counting, but 7:07 or 8.
You're ready to go. Bud Light in hand, ready to go.
Oh, man, nervous, but we'll see. That's always fun.
I didn't feel that way last night watching that football game for sure. I was headed to bed at halftime. That thing was boring. That rain had come that way, and it wasn't even that bad. The rain, the balls were a little wet, but they played like that thing was a greased pig all night long.
Yeah, it's back-to-back games, primetime games on the West Coast that were wet, for sure. Of course, the Colts and 49ers on Sunday night played in a driving rainstorm in San Francisco. And last night in Seattle, it was wet the whole night. Plus, you had some rough quarterback play, I thought, especially with Geno Smith. Did hit DK Metcalf with the long touchdown pass, but other than that, not much offense for the Seahawks.
That was in the second series.
Yeah, and that was it. They had a field goal the rest of the way in a 13-10 Saints victory. But how about the Saints? The drive, the kid who kicked the game-winning field goal, I mean, this is brand new. He's just signed free agent. His first ever game, to be in that spot for him. He makes the game winner, but that came after a 19-play drive for the Saints. They went on a 19-play drive to kick a game-winning field goal.
I was like,
under
you guys
got to
score a touchdown in here.
Yeah, then they ended up.
Seattle's defense got a little bit better last night.
Well, Seattle, I mean, we've seen them in primetime a couple times. That Pittsburgh game where they got behind but came back on the road at Pittsburgh. I mean, it's just, you watch that game, you're thinking, Russell Wilson's pretty important. to what they do.
Especially throwing the ball over the top.
Yeah, just keeping drives alive and moving chains. All the things we talk about with the Longhorns, when Casey Thompson has a rough stretch, the Longhorns don't move the ball. They don't even get first downs. Heck, they had the whole second half, after that one drive to start the second half against Oklahoma State, they had like 17 total plays.
Yeah, like I said, I believe they want him to take off and run with the ball so they can hit him.
Baylor.
Yes. Go ahead, run up the guts.
We'll see. He hadn't run much this year, Casey Thompson. We'll see if quarterback legs become more a part of this offense for Texas. All right, let's get to the headlines, trending topics on this Tuesday morning. UEO Business Services brings you the headlines, the trending topics, things you need to know on this Tuesday morning. We'll start with the Longhorns coming off that bye week, riding a two-game losing streak now. Terrible fourth quarters against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have the horns reeling. Now, quite the challenge as they travel to Waco to play the upstart Baylor Bears, ranked 16th in the country currently. They're 6-1, part of a three-way tie for second place in the Big 12, along with Oak State and Iowa State, a game behind unbeaten Oklahoma. Head coach Dave Aranda and his Bears have been a pleasant surprise, especially on offense. The new offense coordinator, Jeff Grimes, came in from BYU this offseason. Bears lead the Big 12 in rushing. Coach Sark well aware of the challenge they face on Saturday.
And this is going to take a really good week of preparation. This is a good football team we're playing. I think Dave has done a fantastic job from year one to year two of implementing his culture and his style of play. It's a sound football team. They play tough. They play hard. They run the ball well. They work together in unison on defense. They're a veteran group. So with all that being said, we got to prepare really well and play really well Saturday at 11 a.m.
As he said, 11 a.m. kick on Saturday. Another one, 5 in a row now for Texas at 11. That means 7 a.m. pregame right here on the Horn. Big news from Lubbock yesterday. Texas Tech has made a decision regarding their head football coach, Matt Wells. He is out after less than 3 seasons in Lubbock. Offensive coordinator Sonny Cumbie will replace Wells immediately as the interim head coach. Red Raiders will be searching for their fourth full-time head coach since Mike Leach left the program in 2009. UTSA coach Jeff Traylor, SMU head coach Sonny Dykes, two names that have immediately jumped to the top of the list, according to the insiders. Former Baylor head coach Art Briles, not expected to be in the mix, according to a report from Yahoo Sports. Texas Tech will play at Oklahoma on Saturday. Big news for Texas basketball yesterday. How about Chris Beard? The Longhorns landed a verbal commitment from one of the top high school players in the nation, 5-star small forward Dylan Mitchell. Committed to Texas via Instagram Live yesterday afternoon. 6'7 springy forward from Spring Hill, Florida. The second 5-star player in the 2022 recruiting class for Chris Beard. He joins the point guard Arterio Morris from Dallas Kimball. Longhorn season begins with a game against Houston Baptist on November the 9th. Monday Night Football last night, as we mentioned, Saints survive a trip to Seattle, beat the Seahawks 13-10. They get the victory there. In baseball, Astros and Braves, World Series, Game 1 tonight, as we mentioned, in Houston. Framber Valdez for the Astros, Charlie Morton for the Braves.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so fun stuff there. Zay, you gave us your scouting report on the five-star forward from Spring Hill, Florida. Big-time player. Chris Beard, well, you follow college basketball as closely as anybody, Zay. This is, you know, gosh, I mean, this what the splash Chris Beard has made selling this program to coaches, to graduate transfer prospects, and now, you know, high school prospects. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. With getting Dylan Mitchell yesterday, that's a huge get along with Arterio Morris. Those are both studs. And one thing about Mitchell, he's super bouncy, so expect a lot of people getting dunked on when he gets down here at the 40 acres.
Super bouncy, I like that.
Super bouncy. Obviously, first things first for Texas. These are the 2022 class. We'll see them next year. But this year's class, exciting too. I mean, this is a team picked in the preseason top five. Some picked them in the preseason top three with the seven transfer portal players that they brought in to join the returning players. And Chris Beard, talk about a guy that's all gas, no brakes. I mean, he is relentless in what he's doing and trying to get this program.
If there's one out there, he's going to go get him.
And it's impressive. I mean, the combination of Chris Beard's energy and enthusiasm and you know the selling of this program with Texas, you know, I think you know it's impressive to watch that you know he believes that this can be the best program in college basketball.
Yeah, and I believe the football coach believes it's the same too. He's now just got to go out and evaluate the kind of players that he wants in his program. I mean, he's got to understand the ones that he doesn't want in his program. I think he can see that on a daily basis. Somewhat like Brett Bielema said, he looks at him. You know him. By now, you know him. You know the ones, the kind of players you have to have on your offensive line and your defensive line. There's no separation. Some of them can get a little bit better, but by now, you know who's going to be what in 2 years or 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
This isn't one of those. Now I've got to get them. No, I had to recruit better players. I just do.
And they're forming a pretty nice recruiting class for the class of 2022 already. They've done a good job on that recruiting trail. You got to keep them, right? I mean, you got that early signing window for football will come just before Christmas.
Yeah, they're going to want to continue to see how you play.
Yeah,
how you play the games in this conference before you set off into another conference. To the big boy conference.
There's no question about that. I mean, they've got the quality of play has to continue to grow. That's the one thing that is concerning for Texas. That, you know, this is now you're coming off two really, you know, the Oklahoma game was a tremendous football game. It was a gut punch.
It was.
Some fluky things went against you. There were some 50-50 plays that you didn't make, and they did, and that loss. But the Oklahoma State game was bad. I mean, that was dreadful in the second half. And now you come off the bye, and here comes a ranked Baylor team that's better than people thought.
But they're Baylor, and you're Texas, and you're supposed to win that game.
And then you're an underdog.
I know.
And then here comes Iowa State. I mean, this thing could be a four-game losing streak really quick. And does that impact your recruiting class? Do people start saying, wait a second?
Oh, yeah, they're going to look at it. They're going to look at how you play and why are you playing like this.
And this is a key game. I know we've said that going into the Oklahoma State game. We said that going to Oklahoma. You know, they're all key games. But this one, it seems pivotal in that.
It's pivotal because they're the Bears, and you're supposed to beat the Bears. It's supposed to be a hard-fought game, but you're supposed to win that game.
And what? This is the first time to see this team coming out of a bye week. What did they, you know, self-scout? What did they improve upon? Is this going to be a? Is that was the reason for the coaching change was better development of players?
Yeah. Are we going to go into the next football season, no matter what happens at the end of this one, looking and wondering what kind of team are they going to be in the fourth quarter? Are they going to be physical enough? Are they going to have defensive backs that are winning 50-50 balls? Or how is your recruiting? Are the guys that you're recruiting the right guys now? You may have them in they're not in your fold. They're just a part of the group that you're recruiting. But are they the right guys? That's what's going to make people start to wonder if this thing doesn't – if you don't change things even right now, E.
Just show improvement. Just keep getting better.
Well, that's what I thought it was. I thought that's what the season was going to be about.
Yeah.
To show improvement. And I think they've done that in a lot of different areas. But there are some that – You just can't win with the players that they have. Sorry, I'm just kind of being honest. There's players and there's certain guys that you can't win championships. Now, if you want to go 7-3 and 8-4, and that's what you want at Texas, or or 9-2 or 9-3. That's, I mean, you can get that done, but if you're trying to win championships, you're going to have to change some things in how you recruit and who you bring in, and what type of player, what you think is physical, because Sark knows what physical is. He understands that. I mean, we've been around here long enough to see what physical is. We've seen it out of teams that aren't as talented but are more physical than this group, and that means in the head too, are mentally tough.
No question about that. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner each morning just after 7:15. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his crew. Bucky now moving on towards winning that bet, by the way, with Tom McKay.
Trying. This will be a big week because there's some weird games out here.
Dude, you're two games over 500 now in your Gold Star Lock Picks each Friday. You went 2-1 again this week. All right, the top story in Coach's Corner is Matt Wells out at Lubbock. Not a surprise, but... I think you said it. I think they wanted to get this thing over with before.
Yeah, he was digging it. He was digging the whole grave by himself. He didn't need any help.
Well, and I think they're 5-3 right now, and they fire their coach, which means they're one win from bowl eligibility.
Right.
So the loss to Case.
They didn't like what the future was looking like with this guy.
No, and you know, almost like to prevent them from getting bowl eligible. Right. You said that earlier, and I think that's true. That. The goal for Matt Wells coming in was to get to a bowl, to show the improvement we're talking about. But the loss to K-State on Saturday was bad. That was a game in which Texas Tech had at home. K-State,
had that sit-down with Matt Wells, and he couldn't say what was good about Lubbock.
Yes.
When they just flat-out asked him, what is it that's good about this place? And you kept talking about your kids playing with, Pop Warner coaches and things like that. They asked you what's good. Tell them exactly what's good. He couldn't tell them.
Yeah, this is the person supposed to be recruiting young people to Lubbock, to the school.
But he couldn't tell you anything that was good about it himself.
Right.
That was kind of sad right there.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want to be recruiting against right there.
Exactly. He doesn't feel like, much like we're talking about Chris Beard being passionate about his alma mater and what this university can be and what the basketball program at Texas can be, what he expects it to be. It did feel like Matt Wells was kind of apathetic to the whole concept of Texas Tech football at this point. And it just seemed like a bad fit at this point for him, you know, coming in from Utah State and trying to build the program. But the question now is, where do they go? They're still reeling from the Mike Leach dismissal. You know, what could have been? I know that's still a sour spot for Texas Tech fans. The Craig James, in most people's opinion, orchestrated situation with his son, and Mike Leach is all of a sudden fired, and it has just hadn't been the same. I mean, the program's been in a tailspin.
Yeah, the dominoes are going to fall all over the country here in the next couple of weeks. I mean, the coach at Pitt is doing such a good job. His name is going to jump in on some things too, including would he leave Pitt to go to Penn State? Well, yeah, he would.
Yeah, well, that becomes, as you
just
said.
If they run him out of town, which they've been trying to do, I don't know why, but they have been.
That's hard to get your head around. That seems like a contradiction that they're trying to run him out of town, but James Franklin's name continues to pop up for jobs like LSU and USC.
Some of his people are talking, too.
Yeah. So, I think it's fair to when we talk about Coach's Corner and the Coach's Carousel. Texas Tech now open. The original names you hear are Sonny Dykes, which, that one just resonates, right?
It does.
We knew our great friend Spike Dykes, the longtime coach at Texas Tech. Really well liked.
And Sonny would go crazy and recruit the kids in the Metroplex.
I think so. I think there's a lot to like about Sonny Dykes at Texas Tech. Now, would he leave SMU? I think so. I think, to take over where his father laid roots.
There's no doubt about the kind of cash they have at SMU for the program now, right?
Yeah.
That place is full of rich alums.
Rich alums, very wealthy alums.
Yeah.
And, they're stepping up in conference at SMU. It's just one of those, I think he'd take it. I think Sonny Dykes, he's not going to do anything until January or December.
No.
Because SMU's got a lot of football to play this year. Jeff Traylor down at UTSA is another name you'll hear pretty quickly as far as a name. There's talk that Jeff Traylor might have other options.
Could be.
Out there because he's a hot commodity.
Like I said, I think things are going to happen in the Pac-12 besides USC. Whether it's Colorado State, places like that. Those jobs are good jobs if you can recruit, and Jeff Traylor can recruit.
Well, he knows the relationships in the state of Texas as a former high school coach himself.
True.
Jeff Traylor, I mean, he was one of the leaders in the high school coaching ranks while he was in high school, And that's a big part of what he's done at Texas UTSA in a short amount of time, is build those relationships, which you take with you. And that's where, you know, if you're Jeff Traylor, staying in the state of Texas might be your best bet to keep those ties and can use those ties to your advantage.
Yeah, especially if a guy like Matt Campbell is getting out of a place like Iowa State. You hang around and wait for those kind of jobs where you start to build too.
And we'll see. We'll see. I just think if I'm Jeff Traylor and I can get Texas Tech where I can then use my relationships in the high school recruiting, and because that's what it's about at Texas Tech. You got to be able to bring people to West Texas. You got to be able to recruit.
Well, you
got
to be able to recruit the ones that don't want to go to Baylor or Texas or Texas A&M.
Correct.
They're in-state recruiting. Those battles are tough enough to keep the kids from going to Texas and keep them going to A&M. And now if Baylor continues to go on their path, that's going to be a hard. That's going to be, you know, Dave Aranda is going to be able to sell their program also.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it interesting that Texas Tech is available? And there's just a part of me that looks at it and says, you know, you wonder if Sonny Dykes would just as soon stay at SMU and keep building what he's building. Or if Jeff Traylor would stay in San Antonio and just keep building what he's building.
Well, it's nice to win, believe me, because winning is hard.
Well, part of that is how difficult it is to win at Texas Tech. That Spike Dykes was beloved there, but it wasn't like he was winning championships out there. The best coach they've had was Mike Leach, and they ran him out. And you know, Mike had a unique ability to identify talent and then to run his offense and be kind of the outlier in a conference and make things hard on people. Well, now everybody's running that offense that Mike Leach was a trailblazer.
Well, like I said, Sonny winning where he is fun. Because you've got the Cincinnati's of the world to worry about, and Cincinnati is, I mean, it's you can keep that going if you're playing SMU and Memphis and teams like that. But you know, you're in your coaching career, as you get when you start getting these undefeated teams or one loss teams, Ian, it's a chance for you to move up in your career, and you want to go to another level. You have to take jobs like Texas Tech. You know, Texas doesn't roll around for you. You don't get to get interviewed for those kind of jobs.
Well, I mean, do you have to though? Remember, Sonny was the coach at Cal. He's been to the Power mm-hmm. Five. He's been a part of the Power Five. And now
he didn't like that.
Well, Sonny Dykes in Berkeley, California was a bad fit.
No,
Sonny Dykes in West Texas, better fit.
Where his dad was too, or yeah. Where he grew up. Yeah, of course it is.
But at the same time, Sonny Dykes at SMU seems to be working pretty well.
Yes.
That's one of those.
They're going to go to bowl games. They win games. They win them. They're over the last couple of years. What have they? The most they've lost two or three.
Yeah.
Maybe just two.
And Sonny's got.
And
a
it's
tough,
been to Cincinnati most of them.
They've got a tough game this week with the University of Houston.
Yes.
U of H for SMU this week. So we'll keep an eye on that. And as we said earlier, the report from Pat from Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel, their college football insider, that Art Briles will not be a part of this coaching search, according to his reporting. I know.
Yeah, what are they willing to do? Are they ready to sell their souls for their football program?
There are a lot that will.
Yeah.
I think Art Briles is the perfect coach for what they do with his, obviously, success, but at the same time, at what price success?
Hmm.
I
think there are too many people on the opposite side of that. We can find somebody else.
Well, that's right. For every Texas Tech fan who would love that, there'll be three that'll hate it.
Right.
And that's what if you're Kirby Hokut, you know, he's kind of reeling right now. He lost Chris Beard. Now he's having to fire his football coach because the Matt Wells hire didn't work out, even though I think Kirby's done a really good job as the AD there. But you know, you got to hit this one, and this one has to unite the program. There's got to be a galvanizing feeling about this hire, which is what maybe Sonny Dykes would do, just because of the name and the background and the history.
Well, he would have the fan base rally around him. That's
right.
For sure.
And that's what you want here. You want a hire that everyone's like fired up about.
Absolutely.
Because they're still divided in the Mike Leach thing, right? They just continue to cycle through coaches.
And I still have to believe that Texas Tech. I mean, when I was back, even when I was coaching, you were trying to get those kids from the Metroplex that weren't going to go to Texas or A&M. They were still really good players. That's where Tech would get those players.
Yeah.
You know, before TCU got cranked up.
Well, I mean, that's where Jeff Traylor with his ties to Texas, you know, his high school coaches, that's what you got to be able to do is win those recruiting battles and bring talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which they have a hard time doing in Red Raider land.
It seems like that if Jeff Traylor got an opportunity – he would move up immediately because that UTSA deal, that's one of those, okay, 1 year, maybe 2 years, but that's not going to be a continuation of undefeated teams or one-loss teams.
You wouldn't think, but he's built that program on a solid foundation, and we'll see where that goes. We are expecting and anticipating a conversation with the UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor later in the week here on B&E. Excited about that. They have a bye week this week, so I think we're going to get him Thursday or Friday. We'll keep you posted on that.
He must have a pretty good coaching staff. I know he's got that kid Sincere McCormick that I watch play.
The high school?
Yeah, as his running backs. He's a pretty good running back. He's solid.
We'll come back when we do your thoughts. If you're a Red Raider fan, what say you? Is it Sonny Dykes? Is that doing anything for you? What about the Jeff Traylor option and Art Briles? Would that be a solution? We'll also get into the other dominoes that are going to fall. USC, LSU are already available. We'll get into that.
And someone says, doesn't Sonny have a job already? Yes, he does.
He does. Got a real good job.
Yeah, that guy's probably – but if that job right there gave him a call, I got to believe where his dad coached, he would take that phone call.
Listen to the pitch from
Absolutely.
Kirby Hocutt and the Red Raiders. We'll talk about it with you. We'll come back. We'll continue the preview of the World Series tonight, Game 1, Astros, Braves, and the hot or not topics before the end of the hour. Also, speaking of the World Series, start of the 8 o'clock hour, our friend Richard Justice, longtime baseball beat reporter, now working for Texas Monthly. He's got a story out on this Astros team. We'll talk some baseball with Richard later on in the show. And we're talking to you on the show of the people on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
A couple of texts on the Specs text line. It says, Sonny Dykes and Jeff Traylor seem like great options. Hell no to Art or Kendall Briles. Yeah. It says, Texas Tech lost their basketball coach and their baseball coach. And now they fired their football coach. That's why I say.
What are you trying to do? Get Nick Saban come to Lubbock? He's not coming.
No. Well, no, I mean, I'm just talking about Kirby Hocutt. That athletic department was on a high. And now, you know, Tim Tadlock moved on. You lose Chris Beard to Texas. And here's now firing of Matt Wells. That just didn't work out. So scrambling a little bit.
Coaches move on in their careers. That's, you know. I mean, I don't think Lubbock is a destination point as a coach.
Well, it felt like, and if you're, I'm just speaking for Texas Tech fans, that Chris Beard sold them that he would never leave, right? That's where he wanted to be and sold them on that. And I think folks here in Austin kind of always felt like if the job came available that Chris Beard would certainly be interested. But
and
Texas Tech fans didn't want to hear that.
Right.
And
I'm pretty sure Sonny sold that to SMU. Like, you know, I coached at Cal. I'm coming here. This is another pretty good institution of higher learning. So I'm going to come to SMU. I'm going to be your football coach. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not looking for a bigger job. But if Texas Tech calls where his father coached and where he grew up in that, he was born there probably, right? During that time, or he was raised there.
He went to high school there.
Yeah, he was raised, yeah.
And he graduated from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Went to school there, started his coaching career at Monahans High School in West
Texas.
Well,
hell yeah, if they call you, you're going to pick up the phone.
I mean, there's just too many connections with Sonny Dykes in that program, and he's proven to be a really good football coach, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you're...
True. You're not recruiting your dad's son because your dad coached you. You're recruiting him because he's a pretty good damn coach.
But he seems like he can be the guy at Texas Tech for a long time if you can land him and get him out of SMU, which I think they probably can. But again, he graduated there in 95. He coached there for, years after starting his coaching career at the high school level.
And it's the Big 12.
It's the Big 12. And again, I don't think that the Sonny Dykes Cal thing, that always just seemed to be a little bit off.
And that's why I always thought, you know, Matt Wells and building his program, that was nice. But, I mean, in the higher echelon of coaching, you want to then, a guy like that, a young guy who can move on and have opportunities at big jobs, would see what he can do all the way to the NFL. As a coach, you know?
Yes.
And now he's going to get to the spot where the good players are going and you don't win the kind of games you used to. You stick around, and you may stick around too long, and those opportunities stop.
Correct. Correct. It seems like Sonny Dykes. The more I'm thinking about it, we came in, getting ready, and
we were talking about Jeff Traylor first, but I would look at Sonny Dykes.
Yeah, it just again that if I'm, and by the way, Tim Tadlock is still the baseball coach there. My apologies for that. Tim Tadlock was Texas A&M came after him hard.
He's got a lifetime contract now, right?
Right, and then they signed him up to a lifetime deal at Texas Tech to stay there and coach baseball. But remember, A&M came after him hard. And he stayed, and then Jim Schlossnagel, the TCU right. coach, moved to A&M as that plan B option. And then so Tadlock's still there. My apologies on that. But Sonny Dykes, just again, you want to unite the program. If you're Kirby Hocutt, you want someone that comes in and is a uniter, who can speak the language, knows the school. Matt Wells was a complete outsider when he took the job coming in from Utah State. Sonny Dykes would be the exact opposite of that. So we'll follow that story. SMU getting ready for a game with Houston. Jeff Traylor will be a name as well.
But when you hear the rumblings of Matt Wells after the Texas game, and it's been going on for 2 years, that's a long time to hear that kind of grumblings and rumblings from, Tech alums. Well, they thought that he got out-coached in that game. I know Sam Ellinger had a big part of bringing them back. He had a huge part of bringing Texas back in that win. But ever since then, they've been talking about that guy. Just make a couple more mistakes and you'll be out of here. And he was like out there in the pastures digging that grave. And then somebody just pushed him right on in. And now they've thrown the dirt over the top of him. Yeah. They've just been waiting.
Yes.
And you can feel that when you're around.
I mean, they're blowing a 21-point lead, or it was 14 late, to Texas was critical. Even when we talked to our friend Chris Level, when Texas was about to play Texas Tech, he talked about how important the win over Houston was to start the season. That, that was kind of a make or break kind of thing for Matt Wells, that he was on thin ice to start year three.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Houston, came back, won that game, then got smoked by Texas here, but then turned around and beat West Virginia, remember. So maybe righted the ship a little bit, got to 5 wins, and this past weekend against K-State was supposed to be win 6. They lost it at home late as K-State came in and beat them, and now they're going to be an underdog in
the next
5 games.
Well, I mean, and as much as I like Sark, and I think that he'll be here for a while, there's still going to be rumblings if he continues to have these fourth quarters where guys just aren't there in the fourth quarter, and he has a hand in it himself. When the coach has a hand not pulling you out of the fire, the head coach here, that can become a problem. And it doesn't take long around this place for it to become a problem.
He just got here. He's coached 7 games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it doesn't take long here.
Yeah, understood. But that would be ridiculous. You just said they don't have the horses.
I don't believe they do. Right. No, they don't have the type of players.
Correct. So, but rumbling.
But by the way, they have the type of players to win in the Big 12.
Right. Well, and and that's going to be the question. Can this team improve and start closing games,
mm-hmm.
winning fourth quarters? It's got to improve. But I think they're invested in Sark and this staff for a while here. But yes, he's got to show better. He admitted that. We heard from Coach Sark yesterday at his media availability. We heard him earlier talking about how the level of frustration in the program after the Oklahoma State game. But he was asked yesterday what he's done during the bye week in practice to help the team finish games. What are they working on to help be better in critical moments of winning and losing games?
We want to make sure everything that we're doing is putting our players in the best position to be successful, whether that's through our game plan approach, whether that's through our depth chart, whether that's through putting players in certain positions in game that give us the best chance as a team and as from an individual standpoint to make plays. So ultimately, when you get to a bye, you get a chance to kind of look at your first 7 games and say, okay, what are the things that we do really well? What are the things that our individual players do really well? And let's make sure we're doing enough of that so that our players are still playing with the confidence needed. Now, on the next side of it, the coin is, okay, what are the things we're not doing so well or individuals are not doing so well? And do we want to continue down that road of trying to get it right and keep working on that? Or is it say, hey, you know what? We're going to table this scheme, or we're not going to put him in that position until we get more time in spring practice. And so that was kind of our approach. So that, like I said, ultimately our job is to put our players in position to have success. So ultimately as a team, we can have success. And so we try to evaluate all of that so that in the next 5 ball games throughout the second half of the season, guys are very confident in what they're doing and feel good about it so that we're in position in the fourth quarter to go win a ball game.
go win a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta make it feel. I gotta make my team feel like, guys, you are still in a championship hunt. This is still the run for the championship. You're no way out of it. You just got games you have to win. You can't lose another football game. You have to win these games. I'll let them know that. I wouldn't be afraid to let them know. I mean, he's real honest. He seems to be a very honest person to his team. And I would be very honest with those guys and say, guys, you're dead smack in it. But you got to beat Baylor. You got to beat Iowa State. And you have to win every game from this point on.
Sorry,
I mean, it's not a secret. There's no secrets out. If you lose another game, you're done.
Yeah.
For the championship. That doesn't mean you can't have a good season. And that doesn't mean we want to still do – we're still trying to do the right things to build on the program. But you're in a championship run, so you got to play like that too.
And build on the positives. Real quick, for the timeout, we'll get to our hot or not topics for the top of the hour. Richard Justice, longtime baseball columnist and writer, will join us after the top of the hour, preview the World Series. But Sark was asked yesterday about what improvements he and his coaching staff addressed during the bye week. Of course, it's self-scouting, look yourself in the mirror time. Here's Sark on the staff and changes they're looking to make.
You know, I think what we tried to do was get them to understand when you're capable of doing something and you do the necessary repetition of it, the circumstances shouldn't determine your ability to do something or not. And, we went through a couple different exercises that kind of pertain to that, watched a video that pertained to that, had a lot of dialogue about that if you're capable to do something in the first or second quarter, and the looks remain the same in the third and the fourth quarter, clearly, if we don't execute it, that's not really the opponent at that point. That's us being distracted by some outside influence, whether that's the score, sometimes it's fatigue, whatever that is. And then, the key for us is to, can we keep doing the next right thing, whatever's asked of us, for an extended period of time? And we wouldn't ask them to do something that we don't think they're capable of doing. And they've shown that they were capable of doing it. And so now it's our job to get them to sustain that and continue to do it regardless of the moment, regardless of how big we think that play is. And that comes with trust. That comes with trust in their own preparation. That comes in trusting the guy next to you that he's going to do his job. And that comes in trust from the coaches that we're going to put them in the best position to have success. And so I think they really understood it. I think they bought into it and have really grasped a hold of it. And we saw it today. But the key to the drill for this week is the preparation piece and that repetition of it so that we do something to a point where not just can we do it right, but to where we can't do it wrong. And that's the mentality. And I think the guys have really bought into it and feel great about their approach heading into the ballgame.
And what's tough is that you have to do that at practice in order to get to the games, because the games are the most important. But when you get to the games and all the stuff that he's talking about fizzles out and you start to lose, when you get tired and you start to lose focus and you get distracted by something somebody else may do around you, that's when you have to trust your coaches. That's when you look back and say, well, this is what he told me to do. This is what I need to do. And I got to trust my athletic ability too. And I think as when I start to look at them, and that's when they start to turn into the kitty cats. You know what I mean? That's when that's that fight or flight mentality that you talk about. What do you do? What do you do when you're tired? Do you still remain tough, or do you just what is the easy way out? Doing it your way or doing it the way that you were taught to do it? A lot of times the easy way out is doing it your way, and you get out of position and you're tired and you stay out of position when you know you're supposed to be in this gap right here.
No doubt, stay in your gap. We'll hear more from Sark throughout the course of the morning. We'll talk to Richard Justice after the top of the hour. He'll preview the World Series with us from the Astros and Braves perspective. We'll also dive into the hot or not topics, things you need to know on this Tuesday, things we've missed almost halfway through our program. It's coming next here on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Gotta say, this sounds kind of gross. It is Halloween week, which means Halloween candy conversation.
Yeah, man.
It says here Reese's peanut butter cups with crushed up potato chips have arrived. Like crushed up potato chips in the... I don't want to mess with perfection. I mean, a Reese's peanut butter cup is about as perfect as it gets.
In the freezer, yeah. I'm over with that. I've turned soft. My body's turned soft. I have to reject the sugar. By the way, for those who send on a specs text line, I love it. But when you send stuff and say, there's negative Nancy Bucky, Bucky negative Nancy. I know a lot of tough Nancys, by the way. And ooh, I've been in
Nancy Reagan.
I've been around teams that are really good teams, bad teams, and championship teams. So if you want smoke blown up your ass, you probably should ask a relative to do that for you or your friends when you gather together at your tailgate parties. I'm not going to blow that in you. Talk to a relative or one of your partners to do that. I'm not going to do that for you. I'm going to tell you what I see and I've been seeing. So
amen,
I try to give it to you as straight as I can give it to you. So I know what you'd like to hear. I know you'd like to see it, but when it's not done, you want to hear something different. We generally don't do that here. We haven't done that in 20-some years, so I don't think that it's going to start this year.
Not up in here.
No.
Zay?
Maybe you want something for Halloween. I don't know. Some nice candy, some candy corn or something.
Gross. I hate candy corn. Mm. Isaiah Collier is our soon-to-be award-winning producer who brings us through some topics we've missed halfway through the show. We're always surprised by what Zay comes up
always with.
What do we have today, Zay?
Good looking out, fellas. So last night was a dud of a game with Seattle and New Orleans. But the highlight was Peyton and Eli were back this week. And during Peyton and Eli, the guests were Drew Brees, Sue Bird, WNBA player. They had Marshawn Lynch, who dropped the F-bomb.
Did he really?
Yep.
My son played that for me last night. Marshawn, you know, he's just talking, and he forgot he's on television, I guess.
Shocker that Marshawn dropped the F-bomb on the really? four-letter network. He also talked about how much he loves Henny, which we all know that. But
loves his Henny, doesn't he?
Yep. But the GOAT was on the show. Tampa Brady was there. And Tom revealed, they talked about the 600 touchdown ball and how it went to a fan and whatnot. And Tom, he's kind of justifying, you know, the ball substituting for what he's given to this fan. Peep game, guys. The price went up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What did it go to? Tell me it didn't go past 50 grand.
What are you talking about? For Tom or for a homeboy?
For a homeboy.
Should have kept the
ball. Yeah.
Brian Kennedy is his name.
Yeah. Well, Brian should have kept the ball at the end of the day because it's going to be six figures. But Tom said he's going to give Brian one Bitcoin, which comes out to 63,000. Two signed Brady jerseys in the house.
I told you, two Brady jerseys. I needed two Brady jerseys. Two balls? Two regular signed balls?
Nope, no ball.
No ball at all?
Yeah, but the helmet and the jersey is supposed to be
the helmet.
Around 2K. I mean, 10K, I'm sorry.
So he gave him one Bitcoin?
One Bitcoin, but it's 63,000.
Two signed jerseys.
A helmet.
Come on, throw in a ball.
A Mike Evans jersey and game cleats. That's around 2K. He gets 1K.
No, Mike Evans can keep his stuff after what he did.
Mike Evans should be kicking stuff. In some Bitcoin, too.
Yeah.
He's the knucklehead that gave the ball up. We wouldn't even be here.
He's an Aggie. I mean, come on. It's classic. All right. So Bucks store credit of 1,000, and he gets 2 years worth of season tickets for the rest of this season and for next season, which is around 20.
Two tickets?
That's pretty good.
Two season tickets?
Season tickets for this year, the rest of the games, and season tickets for next year.
For Tampa Bay?
Yes.
I mean, what else does the guy want? You're still down on it. You're saying it's not enough. You wanted 100 grand.
That's only five figures there. That all comes out to around five figures. Now, Bitcoin, I'm sure that's going to go up. So if it's
or go down,
yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'd hold on to that.
I'd hold on if Brady gave it to me.
You know, it's...
Because things he touched turns into gold.
Yes.
So I'm going to keep that in a safe somewhere.
Well, so, listen.
With the rest of my pennies that I hide in
this is basic
Cracker Jack box, yes.
This is basic business, negotiating 101. The minute he gave the ball up, the minute he lost all his leverage. So he's got to take what he can get at this point. It's actually, Tom Brady doesn't have to be doing this.
No.
The fact that he's giving him 2 years worth of season tickets, a Bitcoin worth 63 grand.
A helmet and two jerseys.
$1,000 at the team store.
I still need the ball. I need a ball. I don't know. I need a Tom Brady ball to throw around the backyard, right?
Well, you just got $1,000 at the store. You can buy a ball there.
No. I want Tom Brady. I want one of Tom Brady's balls from the team in the box. I got to have one of his
shouldn't
balls.
Shouldn't have given up the ball. If you had held on to the ball, now you'd have all the leverage.
I wouldn't be throwing that ball around. That
you'll say, sure, I'll give it to you, Tom. What's it worth to you? But once you gave the ball back, leverage gone.
Zay, 150 G's was too much. You don't ask for money for that, right?
No, you ask for more.
Ask for more?
It's America.
This is Tom Brady.
This is America. Yeah, you're gain, you know, you take what you can get. But, no, he lost leverage when he gave that ball up. We'll come back when we do. We'll reset the headlines, including Chris Beard landing another big-time prospect on the recruiting trail. What a day there. Also, Matt Wells out in Lubbock. And we'll talk to Richard Justice, longtime baseball columnist with the, Houston Chronicle, Washington Post, Baltimore Sun, now working for Texas Monthly. We'll talk Astros, Braves, World Series, Game 1 tonight. That's coming back.